from the Hebrew Scriptures, 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 1 to 5. David's last words. These are David's last words. This is the declaration of Jesse's son David, the declaration of a man raised high, a man anointed by the God of Jacob, a man favoured by the strong one of Israel. The Lord's Spirit speaks through me. His word is on my tongue. Israel's God has spoken. Israel's rock said to me, whoever rules rightly over people, whoever rules in the fear of God, is like the light of a sunrise on a morning with no clouds, like the bright gleam after the rain that brings grass from the ground. Yes, my house is this way with God. He has made an eternal covenant with me, laid out and secure in every detail. Yes, he provides every one of my victories and brings my every desire to pass. Our gospel reading is from John chapter 18, verses 33 to 38. Are you the king of the Jews? Pilate asked Jesus. Jesus replied, do you ask this of your own accord, or have others spoken to you about me? Pilate replied, am I a Jew? It is your own people and the chief priests who have handed you over to me. What have you done? Jesus replied, my reign is not of this world. If my reign were of this world, my servants would not have fought to prevent my being surrendered to the people. But my reign is not of this kind. So you are a king then? Said Pilate. It is you who say it, answered Jesus. Yes, I am king. I was born for this. I came into the world for this, to bear witness to the truth. And all who are on the side of truth, listen to my voice. Pilate said, what is truth? Lord, may your word live within us.
Well, today is the last Sunday of the Christian calendar year, the festival of the reign of Christ. And we begin a new Christian year next Sunday with the first Sunday in Advent, the time of looking forward, of making preparations once more for the birth of Jesus. But today is a day when we're invited to stop and reflect upon what it means to be a follower of Christ, to ponder the questions that are raised in today's gospel reading from the 18th chapter of John's gospel, where Pilate contemplates the truth about the man before him, and then asks Jesus, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answers with, you say that I am king. I was born and came into the world for this one purpose, to speak about the truth. Whoever belongs to the truth listens to me. And then Pilate, in that very typical political statement, says, what is truth? And really, we hear that all the time, don't we? We know how, no matter what political party they're from, it's very easy to take a statement and to twist it, to change it, to question, well, what really is truth? To cast doubt in all sorts of ways. And when you look into Pilate's background, you discover there was quite a bit about this man that made him generally quite disliked among the people. A couple of examples. The Roman soldiers had a miniature effigy of the reigning emperor that they would put on top of the standards which they would carry as they marched into the cities. Wherever they went and marched as an army, they had the symbol of the emperor on top, as a sign that the emperor was in fact God, and that's who they worshipped. In deference to the Jews, however, as they would come into the area around Jerusalem, they would remove that out of respect Pilate, however, made sure it stayed on there, just to offend, just to annoy the Jewish people of the day. The second black mark against Pilate was that he raided the temporal treasury. He knew they had raised a whole lot of money at their market, and he decided that he was going to raid that to build a new aqueduct. Now, the people couldn't really complain because of all the sacrifices that were going on in the temple. They needed a lot of water. As the temple and as the city grew, they needed more water. So here was an easy source of income, very typical of most governments. Who can we tax? Who can we get more money out of? And the people began to resent Pilate even more. Pilate had another thing that he liked to do. Pilate liked to have his soldiers dress in plain clothes and mingle among the crowds. And at a given signal, they would attack the people around them. And many people found themselves stabbed or clubbed to death. And it would create a riot, which then would allow the Roman soldiers who were in uniform to come in and to still and to create order, as was seen. Times haven't changed, have they? The same tactics and techniques seem to go on all around us. But this man of oppression, this tyrannical leader, might have counted himself as a successful man. He'd come almost to the top of the Roman civil service. He was governor general of the Roman province where he was. But there was something missing. And in that little cameo that we have that went on between Jesus and Pilate, we can only begin to imagine the conversation that happened about truth. Did Pilate feel that for him, truth had become a mystery? Or did he begin in that conversation with Jesus to catch a glimpse of what he had missed in life? Jesus talked to him, undoubtedly, of a different way of being. And there's a really lovely image I came across that describes this kingdom, this way of being. I'll let you look at it for a moment. What are some of the things that you notice in this caricature of the life of Jesus? There's a person hugging another. Yep, you begin to notice some of the parables here. You notice some of the other parables? Visiting someone in jail. Yep. A glass of water to the person who's sick. The person who's sick and laying in the bed there. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me. Yep. The parable of the prodigal son. See the father, the image of God running out to greet us no matter who we are and welcome us home. The clothing at the top being patched up and repaired, and the thread in the shape of a heart. The person who's come there and hugged in the middle, you'll notice there's a bag of something on the ground they've let go of. Let go of all the things that have held them back, and then found themselves embraced and loved. And there, imposed over all of it, is not a king in a crown, but a king with a crown of thorns, a different sort of king, a crucified king. And you notice behind that cross, there is some light emanating, a new way of being, a new way of understanding what it means to be king, of what it means to be part of the kingdom of God. So different from all the other kingdoms we see around us. All the pomp and circumstance that goes on, all of the things that would say we are king here are turned on their head. Completely turned on their head. Unexpected. In things we would never expect, we find God's love being shared. At the end of the day, that's what it's about. All the stories we hear through the year come and culminate in this celebration of Christ the King. But it's not meant to be a triumphant understanding, but rather a servant understanding. That this kingdom is lived out as we live out these gifts, these ways of being. In our world, which at the moment seems so hell-bent on destroying each other, where people who like to rule by fear would like us to think the world and its order is coming to an end. They want us to run around being scared. They want us to think that every second person could be there to blow us up. That's how they rule by fear. But God calls us to another way, to rule by love. Did you see that beautiful interview, the father and son in France, the little boy with the flowers? And he was asking his daddy, why are they putting flowers there? Did you see it? And the little boy couldn't understand. His father said it's to, you know, against the guns. And he said, but flowers won't do anything, the little boy says. And his dad says to him, but they do. They are our way, this is paraphrasing it, of standing against those that would harm and hurt. The flowers are a sign of hope. And there's this beautiful little dialogue that went on between this little tiny child who obviously was terrified by the world and what had happened. And his dad is saying there's still another way. That's what this is about. When we see our world falling apart around us, when we see people trying to make us attack and pull apart and destroy, there is another way. A way of love and hope and of servanthood. A way of countering all that would cause hate with love. The best way to drive out fear is with love. And it starts and continues with each one of us, every moment of our day. No matter what we're doing, let us keep countering and allowing that love to rule in our lives. The final verse of the hymn, the Servant King, says, so let us learn how to serve and in our lives enthrone him. Each other's needs to prefer, for it is Christ that we're serving. I simply pray that that will be our prayer always.